Hey, you want to do something cool?
No. Okay.
I'm gonna start to like sing a note and then
Oh,
just like join in
God.
me, join that note, and then I'm gonna go down an octave, and when you hear me do that, you go up an
I'm not
octave.
good at that. I'm not good at singing. Like, I can't do that. I can't,
Oh,
like.
let's just try it. Let's just try it.
Okay, what note are you gonna, what note are you gonna sing?
I'll start it, then you join in, and then when you hear me start to move down, you go up, okay?
Yeah. This is gonna sound terrible. I can't do this.
No, you had it. You had it. I was just about to do it.
It sounds awful. Okay.
No, it'll sound good in post, I promise.
What note is this?
I don't know. Pick here. You hit a note.
I think I got it. I think I got your note. I believe you're doing an A. No,
Here, you
yeah,
play them on the piano. I'll follow that.
I believe you're doing a B. Okay.
Do it again. I can't hold it that long. Come on, you gotta
What am I
jump in
supposed to
there.
do? This is dumb.
No, just do the note, and then when you hear me start to go down, you go up until you get back to the same note, an octave higher, okay? No, an octave, just like B to B.
I thought you said till I got. Okay, fine. God.
Yeah, you're gonna do that, but you're gonna go like, you're gonna swoop it. Yeah, but you're gonna do that with your voice. Ready?
I'm doing the keyboard.
No, do it with your voice. It doesn't work if you do it with
All
the
right,
keyboard.
fine.
You'll see what I'm doing. You watch. Ready? The audience is now listening.
Oh, that was a lot of work for that. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for September 5th, 2014. This is Mike Minotti. I'm joined by my brother AJ.
Hello, hey, you're in the new EBP Studio West.
Yeah, I'm west. I guess I'm slightly west. I never been called west anything in Ohio,
Right.
but sure. Yeah, I moved. I'm in a new place, so yeah, this is great. This is only my third place since we started doing the show 7 years ago.
Wow, it really is. That's weird.
Yep.
Meanwhile, I've lost count.
Yeah, you've been all over the place. But so yeah, here we are, and we got just well, we got some news to talk about. Then we'll games we've been playing. We'll see what the community's been up to, and we'll look at the releases for the week, and that'll be it. So what are we talking about here, Ajay?
All right, first up, big Nintendo stuff.
Okay.
The announcement of a new 3DS, appropriately called New 3DS.
Yeah, they're not the best at naming things lately.
No.
Like
Well, so
they say have Wii U, have Smash Brothers for Wii U, and Smash Brothers for 3DS. That wouldn't mind me as much if it was literally just Smash Brothers U and Smash Brothers 3DS. I don't like that four.
Right. Unless it was the number four, then I'd
Yeah,
be
then that
like
makes
almost
sense,
okay with it.
kind of. Yeah, you know what?
Then it'd
Just
be
start
Wii.
numbering that series. You're doing it for Mario Kart, no one cares.
Yeah, and it is the fourth one, so it would have made sense.
Just call it Smash Brothers 4 now. I don't know. Well, it's weird because like the 3DS and Wii U games are technically different. Like they don't want them to be like it's not like a port. You know?
Right.
So it's bizarre. Okay.
Anyway, so this new 3DS comes in the standard and XL sizes right out of the gate. The big change is that it has a C stick, which is essentially a second analog stick, kind of up above the face buttons, and it's really tiny.
It's a tiny little thing. I wonder how that
Yes.
feels.
I don't know, but like it's designed for, like Monster Hunter and Dragon Quest X and all that stuff. So I mean, I assume it'll also work with, Monster Hunter 3, Metal Gear, anything else that use the
Right.
second analog stick. But the thing that I'm most curious to see in practice is it uses a combination of the front-facing camera and the gyro sensors to always keep the 3D image aligned to your face. So that thing you get the
Yeah.
3DS where if you accidentally twist the screen, you lose 3D. This supposedly eliminates that, which is cool because now, remember, it was always kind of that like you either could use the gyroscope or the 3D, but you really couldn't use both.
Right.
Well, now you can.
Now,
So it's got that going for it. Well, what were you gonna say?
well, so the game now there are going to now this will play all 3DS games, but there will be certain games that you can only play on the new 3DS, right?
Right. So they put a more powerful processor in it, and the immediate benefit is that games will download faster, stuff will load faster, like the menus and stuff, I assume. But starting with a port of Xenoblade Chronicles, which came out on the Wii,
that'll be cool.
There will be games that are exclusive to the new 3DS.
Interesting.
This is where I wonder, I don't know if I'm making too much, it depends, I guess, how many games that do this come out. But could that be a potential confusion point for consumers?
Well, not really. I mean,
Mike, Jimmy Fallon thought the Wii U was a peripheral for the Wii.
Well, because, yeah, that was his snap judgment thing. Look, I mean, the box will say only for new 3DS. I mean, what else can you do?
But, again, I just feel like a parent might say, I just bought a 3DS,
well, okay.
It's new. What, and
well,
not...
sure, parents are dumb sometimes. That happens all the time.
I just don't understand why
parents
can't call it...
buy their kids PlayStation 4 games for their Xbox One sometimes. Yeah, I agree.
I know. I just don't understand why they don't call it. It may get a different name in America. Who knows? But I feel like it'd be so much more eloquent to call it, like, the 3DS Advance.
Yeah, but you would still have the problem you're talking about. That wouldn't solve that.
But at least that happened before. There was a Game Boy Advance that everyone knew was different from the Game Boy.
I hate to say it. The Game Boy Advance was a long time ago. It means absolutely nothing to the kids playing the 3DS right now.
Or the Super 3DS.
Again, doesn't mean anything to the kids.
I just feel like any of those would be better than just calling it New 3DS.
Yeah, I agree. The name could be better, but whatever. I don't think it's an issue. But, this is kind of like the DSi for the 3DS, I feel.
I feel like it's a notch further than that.
Yeah,
DSi... I had a couple exclusive DSiWare games that you couldn't get on the other one anyway, but that was it.
Oh, yeah, but more so from, like, a technical standpoint, like, this is the last model, and it's going to be the best model, but it's also the one that's kind of giving us a hint of what the next thing might be a bit more like. Because the DSi came, what, like, the last 2 or 3 years of the DS's run, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and, you know, I think we're kind of, the 3DS probably has about 2 or 3 more years left on it. So that's kind of what we're getting here, I think.
Mm-hmm. Actually, the DSi came out in 2007, and the 3DS is, what, 2010?
Yeah, so 3 years about. So there you go.
You know what I think is the dark horse feature of this system?
What's that, Edge guy?
Removable faceplates.
That could be neat. People will like that.
I think they'll sell a shit ton of those things. Because think about it. People like
those special edition 3DSs, and now you can just buy
Exactly. Except they only announced the faceplates for the standard size one, not the XL one, though it supports it. I'm sure it's coming, but I'm sure, like, Club Nintendo rewards will be faceplates, and I'm sure they'll, you know, it's kind of like the 360 in a funny way, but...
Yeah. I do think it's really cool Xenoblade Chronicles is getting a port, because that was a game, I started it on the Wii, and I did like it, but... It was kind of at a point where I just wasn't playing my Wii very much.
Exactly, yeah, I got far too in it. Like, I actually got about 15 hours into it. I just I didn't feel like playing a game on the Wii where I had a controller plugged into a controller and it wasn't high def. Like, I hated to be kind of a snob about it like that, but...
Well, you know, for me, especially ever since the Vita, I just like playing a lot of my role-playing games on a portable system these days.
Yeah, it's nice.
I did it with the Persona games and I did it with Bravely Default. I mean, you know, I like kind of plugging away at it for a couple hours every night. Because, you know, it's hard to find time anymore to, like, have 3 hours to sit in front of the couch. And, you know, it's not like an impulse thing. It's hard to just play even just an hour of a JRPG at a time. You know, you need a good chunk of time. Usually you're not going to get that unless it is, like, bedtime and you happen to not be married like me, I guess.
Yeah,
but
it helps.
So, yeah. But, I mean, yeah, I think this is all cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of Shulk in Xenoblade Chronicles, they announced him as a character in Smash Brothers, lending more credence to the leaks we saw.
Well, yeah, he was in that one leak. I'll tell you what, I mean, he was actually a rumored character for a long time, and I kind of balked at it. I didn't put too much weight into it. But it's kind of neat to see him in there, you know? Like I said, I didn't play a whole lot of Chronicles, but that's a cool addition. He seems like he has a kind of neat play style. We're getting to the point where we have a lot of people with swords now in the game.
Right.
But, you know, with the large roster as it is, that's fine. But, yeah, it definitely makes those leaks look pretty good now.
Let me ask you this. Jeff Grubb was kind of pointing this out on Twitter this week. Does it bother you that they're still just saying holiday for the Wii U version?
I mean, it annoys me. It doesn't make me think that's going to be delayed or something.
Okay.
I mean, I assume not. I assume it is going to be, like, a December release for sure.
Right.
But it doesn't bother me. Melee came out like December 3rd, if I recall correctly, so it's not unprecedented. I think Brawl
Okay.
came out in November, but they always come out right towards the end of the year. What else?
All right. So there was a an interesting Saints Row 4 announcement. They're porting it to current gen, and then they're also doing a standalone expansion called Gat Out of Hell.
See, it's weird because remember, there was going to be that standalone expansion for 3 called Enter the Dominatrix, and that kind of just turned into Saints Row
Into
4.
four, yeah.
Yeah, so now we're kind of getting the expansion. You know, that's cool. I played a bit of 4 on PC. I kind of have to get in a bit more into it, but yeah, it's a fun game.
Yeah.
And
I'm curious to see the Disney style musical number that is in Gat Out of Hell.
But it's like, you know, why not port some of these games to the new consoles? It can't hurt.
Right.
Would you
It's
rather?
like I think $30 for the
Yeah,
base
that's
game,
cool.
$20 for the
I
expansion.
mean, I'll tell you
It's not
what,
bad.
when Grand Theft Auto 5 comes to the new systems, that's not going to cost $30.
No.
Yeah.
No. No, it is not.
Right.
And then what was the other thing I said I was going to talk about? I already forgot. Must not have been
Yeah.
that great. Oh yeah, this is more for you. Persona 5 is coming to the PS4 in addition to the previously announced PS3 version.
Yeah, that's great because, you know, like I said, I'm so mentally already moved on from the old systems.
Yeah, it's rough. Like today, I'll talk about it more later, but I rented Minecraft for the 360 from a Redbox
Yeah.
to try it. And yeah, just firing up that system, I was like, ugh, I don't want to be here.
Yeah, and it's weird because when the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 came out, the PlayStation 2 still had a lot of legs on it. And I played a lot of PlayStation 2. I remember at the time, well, you know what the problem was? With the PlayStation 2, there was such a shift in how that system worked from like the 360 and stuff. Because PlayStation 2, that was one of those last systems that, you know, you turned the thing on and it just booted whatever game was in the disc, you know? It was almost kind of charming and nice in a way. You had a memory card, for God's sake, you know? It was kind of different. Whereas now the PlayStation 4 is just a better PlayStation 3. It just
Yeah,
doesn't play
exactly.
PlayStation 3 games. But yeah, you know, Persona 5 was kind of going to be the last one, and it was like, oh, that's not even coming out for a while, and I have to keep my PlayStation 3 around so I can play this thing. And yeah, it's super nice. It is kind of weird that like the Persona series has skipped that. It's weird how many high profile Japanese series skip the PlayStation 3 altogether. I guess mostly Persona and Kingdom Hearts. I mean, you know, Persona had like a couple fighting games and stuff. And that probably will be like the last PlayStation 3 game I play now is the sequel to the Persona fighting game. I wish they would just release that on the new systems, but hey, what are you gonna do?
Right. Did you see the interview with Sakaguchi about what he thought about where the Final Fantasy series is right now?
I know. I was reading about this. I can't remember the Sakaguchi thing. I was just somebody was just writing about Final Fantasy 15, how important it is.
Yeah, and like when asked what he thinks
That's
about
right.
the state of Final Fantasy, he was like, "Where's 15?"
Well, that's been their big problem in general, is that it just takes them way too damn long to make these games now.
Well, it's interesting when you think, and I hadn't even realized this. If you consider 15 as we know today, which was originally 13 or versus
Right. No, I
13.
know where you're going with this. If it comes out in 2016, which is what in America it seems likely, it'll literally be 10 years after it was announced. That's
We've been
insane.
waiting longer for that than Half-Life 3.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, like you don't realize it, but yeah, that game's been in development a long
And I
time.
mean, it just baffles me how much money must be spent. You know, it was the same problem with Final Fantasy 13. That game was in development for a really long time. And I brought this up before, but you know, NES had 3 Final Fantasy games. Super Nintendo had 3 Final Fantasy games. PlayStation had 3 Final Fantasy games. PlayStation 2 had 3 Final Fantasy games if you count 11. And now, you know, PlayStation 3, it had.
It's three Final Fantasy 13 games.
It does. I mean, you know what? Again, if we're going to count 11, I guess we can count 14.
Yeah.
But yeah, it has 3. You know, I said before, and I still say, I think the only reason those Final Fantasy 13 sequels existed was because they had to use those assets they spent 5 years creating to make a couple more games to try to
But
get more money back.
remember how always the excuse for like not making Final Fantasy VII remakes was that it would take too long?
I kind of, yeah.
They should have just done it. We would have had it by now.
But you know, it's like I almost believe him now because look, it's like look how long it
Yeah.
takes them to do anything. And I don't know. I guess it is just a matter because you know we'll say, well, they can make a new Call of Duty every year. But I mean, I guess you know the problem with Square. You don't. It's why you don't see many studios try to make JRPGs that are like on the graphical edge because there's just too much content. It's just too hard. You know, because I like I you know a little spoiler. I beat Watch Dogs, right? the credits for that game depressed me. Because it went on for 30 minutes. It was like the longest thing ever. And I'm like, oh my God, these guys didn't build a wonder of the world. They made this game. And it's right? And it's, you know, it's like those people to make Watch Dogs. Now imagine you want to make a game that looks about as good as Watch Dogs, but it's going to be a 40-hour JRPG. It's rough.
You know whose model I think is going to eventually overtake the industry? Eastern Europe.
How so, Socrates?
Look at games like The Witcher series and the Metro series.
Yeah.
These are small teams and relatively modest studios
I don't I
making
want
some of the most visually impressive
Yeah, I
games I
wonder how
think that
they
come
do
out.
that.
I don't
It
know.
almost
Like
doesn't make
look at
sense.
Witcher. Even the first one when it was like they were
Yeah.
completely unknown. That was a full-blown massive RPG.
Right.
Didn't feel cheap in any way.
But I mean you know, people, the one article is making the point, if Final Fantasy 15 doesn't do well, then JRPGs will be dead. No, JRPGs won't be dead. They'll just exist as they are right now. And when you look at it right now, the biggest JRPGs are, you know, they're kind of like, what are the two of the biggest JRPGs from recent memory? You have Persona 4, you have like Bravely Default. They're,
They're handhelds, I'd say.
well, it's not even just that
I
they're
think we're going
handheld,
that
but they
way.
have that sort of cartoony style. They're not
Oh,
graphically
I see what you
intensive,
mean. I see
you
what you
know?
mean. Yeah.
And doing that's fine because then it's kind of easier to script a 40-hour campaign. Now,
Right.
nobody's going to want to spend money making a triple A JRPG unless Final Fantasy proves that it's viable. And 13 didn't really prove that. So, you know, that article is saying, you know, 15 does and other people will. But the problem is 15 may not really be a JRPG. And I'm fine with that in a way, but who knows? So yeah, I don't know. The state of JRPG, it's kind of interesting. You know, it's kind of in a weird place right now because there are good games, but you know, it's kind of the same players. You have the, you know, your Tales of Exilia and Tales of this,
It's
Tales of
starting to
that.
feel like the adventure genre in the mid-2000s to
Yeah,
me.
you know,
Maybe it's going to have a big rebirth, but I don't
it's
know.
incredibly niche. That's what it is. And that's, you know, and being niche is fine, but when you're niche, your games are going to look more like Bravely Default than like Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. This was, you know, and I'm fine. Like I said, I love Bravely Default and all that, but it would be cool to see, like, you know, that's what was special about the Final Fantasy games in the PlayStation 1 era. Like, those were top of the line. That was the franchise. Nothing looked that good.
That's what you put in your PlayStation to show it to people. Say,
Right, you
look what
know.
this can do.
And I mean, you know, people, graphics don't matter. Graphics were a big reason why people played Final Fantasy VII. That's why it kind of went mainstream in a way. You know, and we're kind of a problem. You can't wow anybody with graphics anymore.
Very hard to do.
Especially on the consoles, because you know, it's hard to wow anybody now, because we see things, you know, half the movies that we see are computer animated and stuff like that, so what are you gonna do? All right, so yeah, I guess that's kind of my JRPG rant.
All right. Well done.
Apparently Square Enix did open is like opening a studio to start development on console games, which is some console JRPG specifically, which is something they said they would do after the success of Bravely Default. I don't think that they're going to be AAA games. I think they're
You
going to
think they might be like downloadable titles or
not
something like a
downloadable, but
$20?
more like just like they'll be like full-blown JRPGs, but they're not going to be like running on Frostbite 3 or something like that. You know what I mean? Like even Ni No Kuni, as cool and artistically impressive it was, you know, it was still kind of a cartoony, shell-shaded thing. I'm sure not to diminish the work that people put into it, but you know, there's a difference between making that and 5,000 people making Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, do you have any other news? Because I actually beat that
No.
game.
Tell me about your experiences in Chicago.
Well, because I didn't have internet for a week, so I thought I would kind of do something offline-ish. So I thought I would finish that game so I can kind of trade it in and get some credit before
Which is
Destiny
funny
came.
because the whole point of the game is supposed to be connected online and hacking and all
Yeah, it was
this
fun. You know
stuff.
what? I usually get so caught up in open world games with doing as many side quests as I can, and usually about three-fourths through, I just kind of give it up. All right, and I want to see the end of the story. Then, if I really care, I can go back and get everything else, and then I never do. But like this one, almost right from the beginning, I'm like, all right, the hell with all this side stuff. I'm just going through the campaign. Whatever, it doesn't matter. It's not like you need to level up that much to, you know, whatever. And you know, again, I was doing a thing too. At first, I don't want to shoot anybody because, you know, whatever. I'm like, oh, I'll be stealthy and I'll take out everybody. Then about a quarter way through, I'm like, oh, everyone dies. That doesn't matter. Like that doesn't affect my morale. My, you know, there's no morality thing for if you kill people or not. It's just all like,
Right.
how many side quests you do, and I did enough of them that like I already had maxed out like whatever good guy business, you know. And I don't want to, you know, you're very anti Watch Dogs, which I still find hilarious because you were so aboard that hype train at one point.
I know.
I don't hate Watch Dogs. Watch Dogs is it's kind of the epitome of a 7 to me. You know, that's kind of the reviewer part of me. You know, people say, well, what's a 7? You know, what game is, like, not good enough that's an 8, but, like, not so bad? Because, you know, anything is kind of below 7, you don't even want to play it, can we be honest?
Right.
Like, when you see a 6.8, nobody thinks, like, oh, I want to give that a shot. You're like, I don't have the time for that. You see a 7, you're like, well, maybe, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's a 7, because, you know, it doesn't do anything offensive, I guess, but it never does anything that, like, it never does anything that's beyond just good or good enough.
Like, I'd say that's accurate.
Yeah, like, the best part, like the final mission was kind of cool. You know, slight spoilers, the final mission, but not story-wise, but, like, because, like, the bad guy, like, hacked into, like, that CTOS thing, like, the operating system for the city, so, and, like, you just had, like, 3 places to go in the city to hack into, and you're just trying to traverse the entire city while he's pulling all the tricks that you usually do, you know, raising bridges, turning the lights on and off and stuff like that.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
That was kind of cool. Like, the other neat thing, too, was, like, all, like, you had the 3 mission objectives you had to go to on your map, but, like, other ones, like, duplicates kept flashing off and on the map, whereas the real ones would just stay there constantly, so you would kind of, like, see which ones weren't disappearing to know they were the ones you had to go to. And that was kind of neat. But, you know, besides that, just, you know, it was what it was. It you know, it began to feel more and more like just a Grand Theft Auto with slight hacking elements.
Yeah, I think that was my ultimate disappointment. It was right. Sounded like it was going to be more than that, and it really wasn't.
Especially, like, the last core of the game, it pretty much just became, like, a third, you know, an open-world third-person shooter.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, which is, you know, not what I thought, not what I was sold on initially, for sure. I think a lot of people felt the same way. So, yeah, you know, you kind of wonder, well, where are they going to take this franchise now? Because they couldn't more desperately have opened it up for a sequel.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, I mean, that. You know how it is. If there's the franchise potential, I'm sure, is a buzzword that they threw around the board meetings about 1,000 times when they were developing this game. but, you know, it was what it was. You know, it was a fine game. It wasn't the best next-gen game so far. It wasn't even the best open-world game on the new systems. I think Infamous was better. I think I thought that Dead Rising 3 was actually better. Well, wow. Assassin's Creed 4 also, but, I mean, you know. Didn't insult me, I guess.
Well, I was able to trade it in for $40 at the time.
Yeah,
so
I got
okay
only like 20
it.
Now. So. But I got to beat it. Oh, boy.
Oh, goody.
Yeah.
Your life is so much richer than mine.
Yeah. I played a bit more of that Gunvolt game, which is, you know, out now. I think, you know, nice. I think Mega Man fans should check that out for sure. Another kind of cool game. I talked about already what it was about. Just want to say that. I got Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright. I haven't had a chance to play it yet, which is upsetting.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll get to that. What have you been up to?
Well, you know what game I was playing that Mega Man fans should check out?
Wait, you're not playing Mighty Number 9, are you?
No. Oh. Sorry. That was a misleading lead. I was just going to say Mega Man X4. That's
oh,
all.
Oh, X4, yeah.
Out for Vita and PS3 is like the PS1 classic version.
See, X3 PSP, just went out on Wii U, so I had to get that first.
Yeah, well, I played a lot of X4 back in the day. I liked that game a lot. It was the first time you really got to play as Zero without any, like, X3, he was, like, playable as, like, a sidekick kind of thing. It was weird.
Yeah, like, once he died, like, he was gone, and, like, he basically he didn't have, like, his sword as much.
Yeah, this game straight up is, do you want to play as X or do you want to play as Zero? And they're pretty different from each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if you've never played it before, it, you know, it kind of follows the standard Mega Man X formula. It's got really cheesy anime cutscenes
with
some bad voice. It's not as bad as Mega Man 8. It's more like these were, like, competent enough actors that they spoke English natively. We'll give them that.
There you go.
But that was about it, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, none of their voices are right for the character that they're talking as.
Why did all of these things always, like, want Mega Man or X to sound like a girl?
I don't know.
Like, where did that come from?
His name is Mega Man.
It's like, always that always bothered me. Like, ugh, I thought Mega Man was cool. Now he sounds like a little girl.
Yeah, ew, whatever. One weird thing. I think this is a quirk of the Vita. I was downloading something while I was playing it. Man, does that cause the game to stutter.
Yeah.
which when you're fighting a boss is Zero in Mega Man X4 is not good.
Right.
Not good. But, you know, for $6, if you were a fan of that game, or like if you like the Mega Man X games in general, it's the second best one after the original X, I feel. So
yeah,
definitely worth checking out.
I think some people like X5 okay. It seems like pretty shortly after X4 that series really went.
Well, I found this out. I didn't realize this. They're interviewing.
I know what you're about to talk about, yeah.
We always forget his name.
Inafune, yeah.
Apparently X5 was supposed to be the end of the series.
Right.
And even then, he kind of mentally checked out. He's like, just go finish it. I'll be here if you need me, but don't bother me. But then, like, they made three more, and he was like, eh.
Yeah, they just kept that thing going. Then they made that weird RPG one.
Yeah. So, whoops.
Yeah.
But I actually spent quite a bit of time on my Vita this week. I got Counter Spy, which is a cross-buy game, PS3, PS4, Vita. Also came out on iOS, and you can even link those up, so you can carry your save file across all the games.
Cool.
But Counter Spy is... It kind of plays like, you remember that game Blackthorn? Blizzard made it.
No, not really.
What else? I'm trying to think what else it's similar to. Basically, the game is you're this spy. There's two nations that are America and Russia, but they're not called that. And they're trying to launch nukes at the moon, and you got to stop both of them. Like, they're in a race with each other. You're trying to stop them both. And all the levels are randomly generated, but you wouldn't know it. Like, they're very well done the way they randomize everything. Apparently, the company that made this is made up of former LucasArts guys and former Pixar guys.
Yeah, random.
Yes.
They're both former Lucas employees.
But if you like the kind of visual style of The Incredibles,
okay,
this
yeah.
game kind of hits that. It's like got this kind of really neat style to it. But it's the way it plays is it's mostly 2D. You're going through these levels. It looks kind of like a Metroidvania, but it doesn't really play like one. But then there's cover points, and whenever you snap in the cover, it kind of becomes an over-the-shoulder third-person thing. You're not moving. You're just shooting in 3D.
Okay, right.
And, you know, you're sneaking through. You're trying to find, you know, plans and stuff, and it's just very, very good.
Cool.
Oh, good.
And then you also got that X2 game. What was that? That's called
Velocity 2X. So this is another cross-buy. It's free on PS Plus this week. It's a combination of a shmup, a platformer, and a puzzle game, as odd as that may sound. And what's cool is, like, half the game you're on foot running through. Again, it looks like Metroidvania, but it's not. And then you're on the ship, and it's kind of a vertical scrolling shmup. But the controls are fairly consistent between the two.
Okay, weird.
And what it does is... A lot of the times when you're in the shmup parts of the game, you'll hit a series of locks where you'll see, like, you have to shoot 1, 2, you see 4 and 5, but 3 is actually in this dock you have to fly the ship into. Now you're on foot, you run through this corridor, find 3, go back outside, and usually the on-foot areas are kind of a loop, and then you go back out. But everything happens instantaneously. It's very fast. So you're, like, flying along, dodging stuff, zipping around, going to this dock, run through, shoot a bunch of things, shoot the switch, back in the ship, and it's just, like, nonstop. And the big other hook to it is you have short-range teleporting in both the ship and on foot. So you're kind of, like, dodging bullets, you're going through walls, and it's just really cool. Like, it's one of those games when you get into the groove of it, you're just chaining all this stuff together, and it feels really fun. The only knock against the game I'd have, really, is that you're moving so fast, it's hard to see what's coming.
Right.
So you can't truly kind of keep the pedal to the metal the whole time like you want to. You will have to slow down just because you can't see what's about to happen.
Right.
And it's a little bit at odds with itself because you get graded at the end of the level based on how many pods you rescue, how many crystals you collect, and your time through the level.
Okay.
So I'm sure, like, if you're a perfectionist, you're just going to keep playing that level over and over until you practically memorize it anyway. But it is super cool. I mean, it's free if you have PS Plus, so you should... play it and
cool.
enjoy it.
I'm gonna check that out. All right, anything else? Should I get to the community?
I fired up Minecraft. This is the first time I've ever played Minecraft.
What do you think
of
Minecraft?
I literally had no idea what it was aside from stacking blocks. I gotta say, I can see where people enjoy this.
Well, I'm sure it's not
the millions and millions of people who have played this game. Right, there might be onto something.
Okay.
No, like, you know, I built my little shack and then. I finished it right as the sun was setting, and then the zombies came out. I just had to, like, hide in my shack and, like, look out the window. I was like, go away.
Sure.
But then it was neat. I had this, like, one of those kind of cool gaming moments you always like, where the area it started me in was kind of, like, in this little valley, and there was, like, some rock walls. So I got my shovel, and I dug into the ground and under the rock wall, and I finally came out on the other side, and it was just this huge open view, and I was like, huh, that's pretty cool. All right, I got it. So yeah, I it's kind of got its hooks into me. I kind of want to go back to playing it. It's rather good.
Cool. All right, let's see. So we got a couple responses on our community thread over at squadronofshame.com.
All right.
Acetyr was kind of talking about how, you know, we were talking about how Shiggy made that comment about casual players being pathetic. He kind of agreed with us that it's a weirdly condescending word to hear from Miyamoto, and he agrees that it's either a mistranslation or he's just really kind of fed up to the point that he wants to say is to address investors. When we were kind of talking about, you know, Dragon Age Inquisition having a multiplayer mode, and if it needed that, and we were kind of on different sides of this, I said no, you said maybe, basically. He said no, 1,000 times no, doesn't need it, and the attempt to shoehorn it in says two things to me. One, EA wants something in the game that they can continually monetize, and two, they don't have as much faith in the pure single-player experience as they should. I agree with them on that first point.
I was just going to say, same thing. I absolutely, that's why they're doing it, because they did the same thing in Mass Effect 3. They sell microtransactions, and you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
I don't know
if they want to make money, they can make money. But I don't think it's because they don't have faith in the single player. I mean, Mass Effect 3's single player was great. So.
Yeah, I mean, really, I think it's just EA doesn't have faith in single player as an idea right now, more than anything, as a concept, not necessarily in any one single player experience. All right, so release. Siage, which is the new way to pronounce releases. I just got the memo from the president.
Oh, wow. Sims 4. Wow, really?
Yeah. Did you get that? We all got that. I'm embarrassed for you. Sims 4 came out for PC.
Do you have any interest in that?
I have not had interest in... You know what? That's a lie. I bought Sims 3 because it came out when like nothing else was coming out, and I was really bored. I was like, all right, I'll play Sims. Sims is supposed to be fun, right? I could not get into it. For the life of me, I'm just not a big Sims fan. I have friends who are big Sims players. I don't give a shit about The Sims.
Right.
I'm hearing mixed things about this. Some people are like, oh, this is a terrible version of The Sims. Other people are like, oh, everyone's overreacting. So who knows?
Who knows?
The aforementioned Velocity 2X is on Vita, PlayStation 4. Danganronpa 2, Goodbye Despair. This is that Vita game. I don't quite know what this is. It sounds like something I would probably like. It's kind of like a visual novel-ish, very Japanese thing. Very much what you expect for a Vita game, right?
Right.
Warriors Orochi 3 Ultimate. What's Warriors Orochi? Is that like it's the Dynasty Warriors thing, right, of some sort?
I think so. Yeah. I could be wrong, but it's a thing.
PlayStation 3, Vita, Xbox One, PlayStation 4. Dance Central Spotlight for Xbox One. I was that you I was arguing with on this series being important or not?
Yeah, we already did that.
Yeah, it's not. Warframe is out on Xbox One now. That's the free-to-play co-op shooter that was on PlayStation 4 at launch. Miramusa Rebirth, Hell's Where the Heart Is. This is a remake of Miramusa for Vita. Don't Starve is now also out on the Vita.
If you have PlayStation Plus and a PS4, the Vita makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways.
Yeah, right.
You're just getting shit to play on it that you bought or got for free on your PS4 anyway.
Right, and then Minecraft came out, Xbox One and PlayStation 4. And Planetary Annihilation is actually officially out now, no longer in.
Oh, cool, I have that.
Oh, yeah?
Wasteland 2 is in, like, a couple weeks, I think.
Oh, right, I forgot about that.
Yeah. I have that, I backed it. I have, like, the early access version downloads that just patches to the full version when it's out.
There's also a PC port of Dead Rising 3, which I just talked about. It's a game that I thought was a little underrated. I liked that game.
You can get it for, like, $10. I think Tiger Direct has it on sale for $10 right now.
Oh, yeah? I mean, I don't know how good the PC port is, but...
Sure, it'll be fine.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Be sure to go to the squadronofshame.com message boards. We have our own board there. You'll find show notes here. You can discuss this show or anything else you want to talk about. Go to iTunes Music Store. Leave us a review. We always appreciate that. And you can find all of our old episodes right there. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.